I wonder if you have heard the story of the jar of rocks. The story goes that a professor held up a large jar filled with large rocks to his class, and he asks the class, "Is the jar full?" The class nods in agreement. The jar does seem to be full. The professor then takes some pebbles from underneath the desk and pours them into the jar. They fall down in between the gaps of the larger rocks and build them all the way up in the jar until they reach the top. Again, the professor asks the class, "Is the jar now full?" At this point, amongst the laughter, there remains a chorus still agreeing, "Now the jar does look full." The professor at this point pulls out a further bag of sand and slowly pours the sand into the jar, shaking it so the sand can fill all the gaps left between the small pebbles. "Is the jar now full?" the professor asks again. It certainly looks full, but by now the class isn't so sure. Lastly, the professor takes his mug of coffee and pours the content into the jar. He then explains to the class, "The jar represents your life and the available time that you have. The large rocks are the most important things in life: family, friends, faith, and values. These need to go into the jar first. As if we were to fill it with the smaller things first, then there will be no room left for the larger things. Only when we have filled our jar with what is most important should we begin filling our lives with those smaller things of less importance." At this point, a student raises his hand and says, "Well, what about the coffee?" To which the professor smiled and replied, "I'm glad you asked about that. No matter how full your life gets, there should always be time for a cup of coffee." Our gospel reading is likewise all about our priorities in life, where we spend our time, those things that matter most to us. And the story sees Jesus arriving as a guest to the house of Mary and Martha. Straight away, we see that Martha gets to work, practically doing all that she can to serve Jesus. She wanted things to be perfect, and so she's working away tirelessly. She's cleaned the house, she's prepped the dishes, she's doing all that she could do so that everything is just right. But while she's working tirelessly, she's looking around for her sister, expecting some help, and yet she is nowhere to be seen. The whole time while she's been working so hard, her sister Mary has been sitting at Jesus' feet. This term, sitting at the feet, isn't just talking about where Mary was sitting in the room. It's a term that denotes discipleship. Mary is being taught by Jesus. And whilst women at this time would have been permitted to hear the instructions of the Torah, it would have been unheard of for a woman to be sitting at the feet of a rabbi. But here Jesus accepts Mary to sit with his 12 disciples and to be discipled. And so whilst Mary is learning for Jesus, Mary isn't just working hard, she's become so busy with the preparations, she has also become distracted. And thus she is unable to hear what Jesus is saying. Perhaps Martha would have liked to have also been hearing Jesus' words, but her sense of duty wouldn't allow her to shake off those pressures of hosting. Martha allows those frustrations to grow, and grow until finally she has enough. She's now angry, both towards Mary and towards Jesus. And so she turns to Jesus rather abruptly and pleads with him, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." In her efforts to serve Jesus as best she could, what she had failed to realize was at this critical time in Jesus' ministry, what he would have most preferred was her company rather than an elaborate meal. And so we see his reply to her here. "Few things are needed, and Mary has chosen what is better." Martha had wanted to take Mary away from sitting at Jesus' feet. She had, in a sense, rationalized that her way of serving Jesus was better than other ways. I think it can be easy to do this sometimes, We can think, well, why don't all Christians care as much about these same issues that we do? But because we all have unique callings from God, it's natural that he would put onto our hearts different priorities. I love the fact that in my ministry as an army chaplain, I get to be around a lot of young men and women who often aren't Christians or haven't grown up in a church setting, people without a faith, often. But my ministry, that doesn't make my ministry any more or less important than my colleagues who work in churches. And working full-time in Christian ministry for the church is no more or less important than the calling that God gives us to us all, to be his presence among our places of work, our social groups, and our neighbourhoods. No one way of serving Jesus is better than another. Martha had not only misjudged Mary's priorities, but she'd also lost track of her own ones. I think there's a danger that we can likewise do the same thing. Like that jar that's meant to be filled with those most important things first, sometimes we can allow those small and not so important things to fill up the jar, leaving no room for what is most important. Heidi and me run a home group for some people from the local parish church in Purbright, and we've just started to do the Bible Society. They've got a course called the Bible Course on Thursday evenings. And whilst I was watching that first video, I felt so challenged. I've got so many Bibles around my house, but I asked myself, am I reading the Bible enough? I feel that I've allowed myself to be so distracted with jobs that need to be done, and like Martha, have failed to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen to his words. It's all too easy to forget that one thing that is most important. Well, back to Martha. She does learn to prioritize what is most important in her life. Later on, after the death of her brother Lazarus, she again approaches Jesus with that same bluntness, this time saying, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But after this, she goes on to give one of the great confessions of the New Testament, declaring, Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. She had been listening, and more than that, she had understood what Jesus had been teaching. Her sister Mary likewise understood Jesus' words. Later on another occasion, when Jesus visits their house again with his disciples, Mary anoints him with costly perfume. And when Judas complains about the waste of such expensive perfume, Jesus rebukes him and points out that Mary was preparing him for his burial. Both sisters had learned to sit and listen to Jesus, and both had an understanding of who he was. They had both learned to make Jesus a priority in their lives. This passage is then a good reminder to us. Sometimes we need to empty out that jar and then have a think, perhaps pray, and reorganize those things in our life, putting back into order those things that are most important. As Jesus reminds us, we can be worried about the many things, when actually few things are needed, or perhaps sometimes in that moment, just one thing. Amen.